Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Wabam Entertainment Podcast. I'm your host tonight, Katie Yelstrap, and with me, I have the co-host of the Tales of the DC Multiverse Podcast, Travis Hines.
Hi, Katie. Thanks for having me. I'm pretty excited to join.
We are glad to have you. Thanks for agreeing to come on. I know you've talked about it all week. So
I've been pretty excited.
Share your thoughts. Yeah. So today we're going to be talking about Doom Patrol, but first we're going to talk a little bit about the news. So it was Monday night. We had a little bit of a spiel. Revenge of the Fans, Mario Francisco Robles. I'm sorry, Mario. I always mispronounce that. It never fails.
You just go. Just go with MFR.
MFR. Okay, we can do this.
There you go.
So he reported Monday night that Armie Hammer was in final talks to join Matt Reeves's The Batman, as it's currently called. It later came out, Armie was asked about it, and he said that he hadn't been talked to about it, and we all know actors lie, right, Travis?
Jason Momoa was on, I want to say, Jimmy Kimmel, and straight up lied to his face, saying he didn't know what he was talking about, so,
yeah. Everyone lies. Now, I will say I haven't seen a whole lot of Armie stuff, so I wouldn't really be able to, like, say if he'd be a great Batman or not, but there's a lot of people online that would really love him.
Well, Katie, he was cast as Batman in Justice League Mortal. It never got off the ground. Well, it got to the production stage, but it never got to filming. And people were excited then. And I think he was in his 20s, early 20s, maybe mid-20s then. And they seemed to go with the man from Uncle as a performance that they note for him. I remember the movie. It's been a long time, but I haven't seen much from Armie as well. But any new Batman, I'll be excited to see what they're going to bring to the table.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, just having someone in the role who kind of just looks and feels like Batman, like, that's what Armie looks like. Now, there's a lot that says Matt is going for someone younger than Ben Affleck, and Armie's kind of in the same age range. I think Ben's maybe a little bit older.
Yeah, 12 years older, I think.
I don't keep up with this stuff. as well as I should.
Well, it's just to know that Ben would be 49 when this Batman movie comes out. He signed a 5-picture deal back in, I want to say, like 2013, 2012, something around there. And it's different. People kind of want him to be, people want Batman to be the Iron Man of the DC Universe, but it's a different for Batman. He has to put on 40 pounds of muscle, and every interview from BBS Promotions and Justice League, Ben Affleck is complaining all the time about having to do that process, having to eat that food, having to train all the time. He really does not like it. And all these other characters, let's be honest, these roles, Aquaman, Wonder Woman, Superman, there might be the biggest they'll ever be. But Ben Affleck is a 2-time Oscar winner. He's a director, so he doesn't need Batman.
Yeah.
He can go off and do other things, not like these other people, Wonder Woman, Aquaman, Superman. Those roles basically made their careers.
Exactly. Gal's practically shot through the roof with her Wonder Woman stuff. Hi, Michael.
Hey, Kit Kat.
Are you joining us, or are you just coming to, like...
You said 9 o'clock, right?
I didn't know if you were joining us. Okay.
Awesome.
Okay. I can leave. I have no problem with that.
No, stay.
This is pretty darn cool. This is cool.
Less for me to ramble about? I don't know. Okay. Have fun cutting this out later.
Yep.
I don't even edit. I just talk.
Anyways, yes, Travis, I completely agree with that because I completely forgot what you were talking about. No, I can completely see Ben Affleck not liking this role. And like you said, he's award-winning. He's a director. There's a bazillion other things he can do. Plus, especially with his whole popularity issue with the Me Too movement coming out and his previous recordings coming up, it definitely was a hit to the DC universe, I would think, that he was still around. And so him stepping away from the role is probably just for the best. And I'm excited to see who they cast.
He did take a bit of flack there, but like he's my personal favorite Batman performance in live action.
I'm a Christian Bale person.
BBS is my favorite comic book movie of all time, so I can't really. I know I take some flack for that, but I just enjoyed it. I like everything. I'm not one of those like I hate Marvel. I love DC. Like I've watched every Marvel film, and I love most of them. Same thing with DC. There's some stuff I don't like. I love Batman and Robin, but for the most part, I love everything. But just I can't even go back and look at Batman fighting in any of Begins. I can, but in Dark Knight and Dark Knight Rises, I can't even go back and look at the fighting anymore. It looks awful. The action scenes are awful compared to what we got in BBS. Like that's how I want Batman to fight and be action and do detective stuff. It was good to see. We didn't get enough. I wanted my own like full Batman movie with him, but that in another alternate universe, we got one. And I guess that's all I can say about that.
I can see that. The action scenes were better.
Oh, yeah. It was just hard to look at like him going into club and getting Falcone in the Dark Knight. Like the way that he just basically, he's just like a street UFC fight. It was gross to see. There was no art in his movement or anything like that. You can see that in the warehouse scene. It's just the best action scene for Batman I've ever seen in my life. It's not even close.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
But we'll get those action scenes with the new Batman as well. I think that it's more the technology is moving with the time, so we'll just get better and better action scenes like that. Maybe that I'm hoping that's the reason.
Technology's definitely gotten better, and I'm really excited to see the detective side of Batman. Michael, did you have any thoughts on the Armie Hammer situation?
Wait and see. That's all I gotta say.
What about the way that basically every scooper is trying to eat Mario alive for this? I think it's pretty funny. A guy who still has pinned on his profile a story about Batman Beyond that everybody debunked, and he's still sticking to his guns, is calling out Mario. I just find it funny. They all should be basically propping each other up, but instead, they turn, besides Mario, that is, they kind of turn on each other pretty quickly. It's really sad to see.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I hated it for Mario.
And if you're going to make a prediction, you're going to take a bit of flack, but if you're wrong, I no doubt that he'll come out and say, I was wrong, my bad, I got that one wrong. And that's fine when you're in the scooper business. But I don't understand people just like taking in the task, like Umberto and people like that. I just don't, it's so childish.
Yeah, if you're wrong, you're wrong. He'll just own up to it. It's no point in attacking him or personally or anything. It makes no sense.
He's just such a nice dude too. It's just sad.
Nah, we all like Mario here, so we just hope it turns out for the best. And I know Mario, if like y'all said, if he's wrong, he's gonna admit he's wrong. But I'm excited to see if Armie really does get cast. Then I'm excited to see Twitter.
That would be remember fun. When Jason Momoa said he wasn't gonna play Aquaman?
Yeah, we were talking about that. He basically lied to Kimmel's face. Have either of you watched that 70s show?
I've seen a little bit of it.
Well, after we're done, YouTube a little clip called Kelso Burns Everyone. I would like for Mario to do that if it comes out that Armie is Batman, because it will be the ultimate revenge. I'd like to go around to every person that called him out and do what Kelso does. I would like everyone to go look at that clip because it's hilarious.
I don't think Mario will do anything other than confirm on his story. So
I know.
Mario's too nice for that.
I can hope for things.
All right. Next topic of news, the Star Wars TV show rumors. So we have everything from Finn and Poe to Rose and Captain Phasma and the Knights of Ren and Obi-Wan, and I'm just so lost, and I'm waiting for an official release from Lucasfilm. I don't know about y'all. What's y'all's thoughts?
I want more Star Wars stuff, but I don't know if it's going to come. I've wanted an Obi-Wan movie for ages. I still want Ewan McGregor to play Obi-Wan because he's still perfect for the role. But besides that, whatever comes, I'm going to be excited for. But as your co-host said before, I'm just going to wait and see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, these are a lot of rumors really, really quickly. And it's kind of hard to believe them all. Like, why would they out of nowhere put like 10 shows in development?
You would think it could have been for to compete with all those Marvel shows, but that's all under the same banner as all Disney. That's why I don't understand this.
Right. So that's what makes me pause a little bit. And like some of these, like the Obi-Wan series, that would be a huge franchise if they just made like a trilogy of movies. So that again is like, are they really going to make that TV show? Whereas Knights of Ren and Phasma make a little bit more sense. The Finn and Poe thing, I don't see the point in that at all, though. That's what's scratching my head.
The rumor with the Obi-Wan show is that it's only going to be limited run. And so it would be six episodes, which would technically give you your trilogy of movies, but also come maybe towards a lower budget as you don't have to pay for as much marketing and it all just gets put on there. Because if you remember in the past, Lucasfilm has said that they're not putting any Star Wars movies on Disney Plus, that they're like strictly making for Disney Plus.
Yeah, well, I could see that. These shows could be what they're going to make for Disney Plus. I just don't know. Like, there's so many shows flying around with this and Marvel. I just don't know.
Really, for this, what I think they're trying to do is they're just trying to weigh public opinion on which shows could possibly come out. They also could just be obviously completely made up, and people are just wanting to get attention. My pitch is on the WabamEntertainment.com page.
Shameless plug.
So I'll give a little bit of a rundown. Like, I could picture something of an anthology type where each episode or every two or three episodes is kind of treated like a backdoor pilot for a potential show. And it just gives each character a little bit of development. The entire season focuses on like the New Republic one season. You could do Bounty Hunters another season. And so just making it sort of an anthology spin where each season relates to a certain category of things. And then if those episodes are popular, then maybe you move those into development. So.
I like this idea.
Me too. It kind of sounds a little bit like, I think they should just model it off of the DCCW and just start with one show, add characters to that show. If they're popular, like Katie said, branch them off into their own shows. And you could build yourself a universe pretty quickly that you could have characters showing up on different shows and get people excited. So that would be my idea.
Yeah, who would have thought in Arrow Season 1 we'd get a Batwoman spinoff, right?
Oh my god.
Perfect transition to our next topic. So, the Batwoman pilot has a new director, Doug Gray Scott, I butchered that too, as the father of Kate Kane. Jacob Kane is an ex-military colonel who is not too fond of Batman. And yeah, he's ex-US military. Scott is from Mission Impossible 2 and My Week with Marilyn.
Yep.
The director, his name is Marco Siega, and he has done pilot work for the CW with The Vampire Diaries. I love that show, by the way.
Never watched it.
I don't know any of the other shows listed, so.
I remember him from Mission Impossible, too. That was quite a while ago. I think, 15, 16 years ago now, I think. It was quite a while. But I'm more shocked and a little disappointed that we lost David Nutter as director, because he's basically the pilot whisperer. I think he's done Arrow and Flash. He's done 15 of his pilots have all gotten picked up. So to series. So people actually called him the pilot whisperer. So I'm kind of a little disappointed that he's not helming it. But after hearing the execs say that they're going to go with 6 shows, I think it's just a formality. They're just trying to get the pilot out there right now.
Yeah, this show's getting picked up, so the pilot doesn't really concern me.
Yeah, I was just worried that we were going to lose a show to get this show, but we're not, so I'm pretty thankful for that.
I was just going to say, the Vampire Diaries pilot is very good. I've watched it like 6 or 7 times. Don't know if I should be admitting that, but it's very good. So I'm excited to see what Siega can do.
I'm sure he's going to do wonders.
Yeah, I hope so. Batwoman deserves it. Ruby Rose deserves it.
From what we got in Elseworlds, I'm pretty sure we're going to get that.
This show is shaping up to be really interesting, so I'm excited to see it.
I'm just so curious what they're going. Are they going to go to Supergirl route for handling Batman, or will they ever show him? Or that's going to be a question for sure. Especially you left the door open with the he's been missing for 3 years thing. So I think it could be a good thing to bring around in the second season, actually get him coming back. But it's going to be a hard transition if you show Batman on screen to not showing anymore, kind of deal. Or it'll take away a bit from Batwoman. So I'm just curious how they're going to do that.
They did it pretty well, considering they did make an excuse on why he's not there, so we just don't have to see him. It's better than what they did with, say, Titans, where he's there, but we can't show him. So, I'd rather you write him out completely than do what Supergirl did or what Titans did.
Yeah, I don't want what Supergirl did, where we see him fly in the saber as she's passing out, or we see his boots on the DEO table, stuff like that. No, I don't want, you know, just show me the guy. It's okay. But I understand. I agree with you. I don't see him showing Batman. Maybe it all depends on the ratings. Maybe they might. That could be a thing to pull out. Same thing as Supergirl did in the second season, just to boost ratings a bit.
Yeah, and I mean, who knows? You could even just show Bruce Wayne and have him just say, "I've stepped away from the role. I'm not putting on the mask. You can't make me."
You can't do that with Bruce Wayne. That's not his character at all. That would get people pissed
off. Okay, maybe he comes back with amnesia or something. I don't know.
Because that Dick Grayson storyline in the comics is going over so well right now.
For those who don't know, Dick Grayson has amnesia, and it is garbage.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not going over well. It's not a good read.
No. I'm sorry. I'll pick up comics eventually.
I gave you a list.
Oh. I have 2 months and 2 weeks, and pretty much I'll get there.
I know a few people with big lists, Katie. you're in good company.
You should see my movie list. I'm excited for that one especially. Anyways, now seems like a good time to talk about the one and only Doom Patrol pilot.
Yes. Let's do this, please. I'm excited.
So, are we talking spoilers? We never decided this.
Spoilers, guys. We're talking spoilers. So if you haven't watched Doom Patrol, go away.
And then come back and listen to the rest of it, please.
Okay, I made an executive decision. Go ahead.
Cool. So, the official synopsis... In the series premiere episode, the team, tired of being stuck in Doom Manor, decides to visit the local town while the chief is away. However, this seemingly harmless field trip leads to some grave consequences, including an encounter with the mysterious and powerful Mr. Nobody. Dun dun dun! Sorry, I felt like that was necessary.
Anyways. That was totally necessary.
I mean, yeah, for Alan Tudyk, it was completely necessary.
Alan Tudyk is amazing. So my synopsis, hot dang, that's the way to start a show.
Agree. I'm just going to say it's the best comic book show pilot I've ever seen. That includes Marvel, that Netflix, that includes anything. That's the best comic book show pilot I've ever seen.
That is high praise.
Yeah. Especially considering I kind of gave up on the fandom for a while until a certain someone broke a couple people's necks in the pilot episode, not letting people find out his secret. And yeah, this is just blows that out of the water.
Y'all are talking about Arrow, right?
Yeah.
Okay, just making sure.
Music cue.
Nobody can know his secret.
You're testing my memory limits, okay? And I don't have a very...
This is true.
Katie, I can promise you, I've seen the Arrow pilot at least twice as many times as you've seen Vampire Diaries pilot.
Works for me.
This show is weird, man.
It's weird, but you know what? I know these characters very, very well. Like, just from this first episode.
Oh, I'll agree. They took us on such a... Sorry about that. They took us on such an emotional journey. Like, I was laughing. I was crying. I was scared. I was excited. When Robot Man puts his hands up, when he walks up those stairs, I wanted to throw my hands up, too. And you go...
Right?
You go from that to him finding out that he basically made fake memories of what happened to his family and how he just stood there, let the years pass. Oh my God, like, what a gut punch. That was fantastic.
Wow. No, that's a complete synopsis of Robot Man right there for you. Brandon Fraser, he was so good in, like, the prequel scenes where, for the memories and, like, the introduction to the character. And then, like, still hearing the voice and, what's his name? Riley Shanahan is doing a great job portraying the body, and Brendan Fraser's voice is just perfect for the role.
How good is that Brendan Fraser back too, by the way?
Very good!
I was just about to say the same thing. Just so nice to see him back.
I really like the chemistry that the cast has too. Like, they're gonna work very well together.
Yeah, they seem to have great chemistry. We're going to add Cyborg to the mix at some point, but I still enjoy that. I got to ask you guys, what did you think of Greta Farr's origin? Did that, like, that kind of didn't make me feel less for her, seeing her origin, how cruel she was, and she got a harsh lesson about, like, judging people's appearances. It was kind of what goes around comes around in extreme form.
Yeah, that was, like... Sorry.
No, you're right. That was crazy. And to see, you think that all those years have changed her, but that girl in the coffee shop was telling her about her father, like, the last moments when he was alive, watching her with him. And instead of asking about her father, she wanted to know more about what they thought of her. So it just goes to show she's still a pretty selfish person. And I'm curious to see how her character is going to grow from that.
I think it was a really interesting way to introduce her, and it gives her this background, and it gives her this opportunity to obviously change as the season comes on, because I like you see Robot Man change. We didn't really get a whole lot, I feel like, from Negative Man, but the way Robot Man was introduced, you feel like you've already known him and you've lived through his growth, whereas with the rest of the cast, like, we got an introduction to them and we know who they are, but really the only one we've seen grow is Robot Man. And so it's an opportunity for the rest of the cast to change and be more accepting, I would think.
This felt like a movie.
Yeah, 58 minutes. Wow.
Yeah, like, this didn't feel like a pilot. This felt like a movie. And that is the best compliment I can give this show. Because I am excited to see what happens week after week. Whereas some other pilots you sort of watch and like, eh, this was okay. I'll probably not check this out. the following week. This one sort of hits all the right notes. It was funny. It was sad. It was kind of creepy and weird. So there's something in there for everybody. And I have the pleasure of not being attached to the Doom Patrol, so I can't nitpick this time.
I don't think there's many people that are attached to Doom Patrol, if I'm being completely honest with you. I've done two other podcasts this week with and the Doom Patrol review.
Dang.
And shameless plugs, the DC Drop and my own podcast, Tales of the DC Multiverse. But one thing that I got from this, I just felt like not only movie, but at the very least, it felt like a blind on HBO. I just got that vibe of it's just higher quality, like you were saying. Like it doesn't feel like a normal TV pilot to me.
Yeah, I completely get that. Like it feels different. And so with Michael's whole nitpicky spiel, that leads me into my next question. Does Titans learn from Doom Patrol and go change and do it its next season?
I hope not. I guess I'm in the minority of loving Titans, but I besides the Elseworld story for season finale, I thought it was fantastic. That kind of was a little bit of a letdown, but they changed that on the fly, which I thought was a mistake. But besides that, like the 10 or 11 episodes before the last one were, I thought, fantastic. I know that they're a bit grittier, kind of, but they seem to get really plant their foot by the fourth episode and run with it. I thought the way they introduced characters like Hawk and Dove were fantastic. And just to see that this is in the same universe as Doom Patrol was fantastic. Like, it just gets me more excited. I'm just hoping Swamp Thing and Stargirl are part of it as well.
Michael, what do you have to say to that?
I'm not falling into this trap. You purposely set me up to rant about Titans.
Well, it's like I said, a guy I follow is all subjective.
Does Titans learn from Doom Patrol? Probably not. And I don't want Titans to be like Doom Patrol. Titans just needs to figure out how to be its own thing. And yeah, it got better as the season went on, and they just sort of fell apart in that last episode. So maybe in season two, they'll work it out. But Doom Patrol is good, and that's what I'm focusing on right now.
I got a question. If that was episode 11 of 15 of that season, and they came to a conclusion afterwards, would it have been as bad?
Oh, no.
Okay.
No.
The episode itself was really good, honestly.
Yeah, it's just an Elseworld story. I feel like my whole timeline was in agreement that that was a terrible decision to split up the two-part finale and change it around for the second season. That was just not a smart decision. I hope Doom Patrol is 15 episodes, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, that's great.
Yeah, that's what they say now. Watch Doom Patrol end with 13.
Do not jinx it, Michael. Do not jinx it.
But yeah, the Titans finale, if there was two more episodes after it, it probably would have been my favorite episode of the season because I loved it. But
yeah,
it was not a good ending.
No, I'm in full agreement with you there.
So, I feel like Doom Patrol ends the pilot at least very well. We have an opening for the rest, then obviously Mr. Nobody's the villain for the season coming in, and a weird donkey. It reminds me of some. The show as a whole reminds me of some mature Legends of Tomorrow thing.
Yes.
I said on a different podcast, it's Legends meets HBO.
Yeah. There was a few things I was surprised about that popped up.
I got a question for you guys. What did you think, since both of you watched Titans, what did you think of the change of the chief? Because I thought in the first minute that he was better than the entire episode that the chief was in Titans.
So it's been a while since I watched that episode, and so I like that he's... I don't really know what to say. I am more of confused by the whole timeline thing. Like, how does Beast Boy fit into this? Are they just gonna, like, silently remove him from Doom Patrol? Like, I don't really know how that episode fits into what we have currently for Doom Patrol.
So I'm assuming the present day stuff in this episode takes place after that episode of Titans, right? Am I wrong?
That's what I'm thinking too.
Right. So he's already, Beast Boy's already gone at that
point. Yeah.
Well, so the way I understood Robot Man's, like, actions is that he's statuary there for a while, and then he doesn't leave that room. That's how I understood that whole sequence right there.
I got from it was that eventually he started to leave the room, because you could see the training tracks getting built and built, and then people were showing up in the room, so you could tell that he was getting over it. We don't know if he went out. Like, we do know from the Titans episode that he was pretty good, but I just don't think that it was one day that he just turned around and he built the train tracks on one day. I think that was it just showed us a general progression.
I wasn't saying that, but I mean, who knows, like, people could have brought the train tracks to him knowing that that would help him recover or something. So, like, not that he was fully stationary there for a while and then just built the train tracks up, but, like, he was unwilling to leave. I don't know. I guess it makes sense in the shake of things. I'll just have to wait to see how it plays out.
Yeah, going back to the chief for a moment, it didn't really make that much of a difference to me. In the context of this episode, I thought he was great. In the Titans episode, it was a little strange. It was a different take, but overall, I think it was a good choice moving on to a different actor.
He just felt so creepy in the Titans episode. Like, he wanted to control them and use them. But here, you get within 2 minutes, you can understand, okay, he just wants to give them a better life. He just wants to do what's best for them. You know, sometimes he lies, like with Cliff's daughter, the information about Cliff's daughter, but he thinks that was for the best to get Cliff back up and running. So I just think that, well, I'm a big fan of Timothy Dalton anyway. I don't think the other guy is good enough actor to tie up Timothy Dalton's shoes, let alone have the role instead of Timothy Dalton. But besides that, I just thought it was fantastic, that scene where he's getting Robot Man, like trying to work on Robot Man, and he's learning how to weld. I just thought that was a nice splash of humor put in there that was perfect.
Yeah, they felt like two completely different characters.
Yeah, that was my takeaway from it as well.
Yeah. So I did want to talk about Crazy Jane. I love her.
Yes, 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 yes. She was awesome. And her relationship with Robot Man was, I'll steal a phrase from you, awesome sauce.
She's just such a fun character.
I got a question. Did you guys count how many personalities we got in this episode? Because I could only count a couple. I didn't even know what that giant fire lady that she transformed into. I don't know any. We barely got to see that, but we got a lot of Hammerhead, which I thought
was
really
odd.
I think
it was really, like, 6 or 7.
Just bravo to the actress, dude. This is a really hard role to nail. I think she should probably go talk to, Tom Cavanaugh about playing different versions of this movie.
Tom's a legend.
Oh, man. I gotta ask you guys. I don't know if you watch Flash like every week, but he was. Yep. They were all skating a few weeks ago. Could you notice the only Canadian there? Tom Cavanaugh. He was flying. He was flying around while everybody else was like just trying to stay up.
Is this gonna lead us into the losing a tooth story?
No, that story stays with me in my nightmares. I always wear a mouth guard, that's all I'll say.
I don't understand, but I don't know if I want to.
You don't, it's not a good scene.
Noted.
So, Travis, that gives me a good idea to add to my reviews, counting up how many personalities Jane has in one episode. I think I'm going to add that, I'm going to steal that. So, thanks.
I'm just curious, like, are we going to get the whole 64 this season, and will it be a hindrance when she's trying to fight? Like, will she be able to like keep one personality? Like, let's say that big fire lady that she transformed into, Will she be able to keep that the entire time, or will another personality take over during a fight? And will that like be a hindrance to her? I'm curious to see how she can control this, or if she does learn to control this.
I don't know anything about this character. You said she has 64 personalities?
That's what I read, 64 personalities, each with its own different superpower.
Wow.
Yeah, I haven't read anything about the character either. I'm like you.
Yeah, that's why it's kind of hard for me to talk about it, because the pilot was good, but I don't know anything about these characters. So whatever they do, I'm just going to be surprised.
And people get a hell of an X-Men vibe from these guys, and nobody really knows that they came out 3 months before X-Men came out.
Oh, so you're saying Marvel copycatted?
Marvel always copycats.
Yeah.
They both do. Don't attack me.
No, Marvel comic copies a little bit more. Hello, purple guy. Do you know who you're based off? Darkseid. And we still haven't seen Darkseid on screen. I'm so mad.
Yeah, when Darkseid eventually shows up, everybody's going to be comparing him to Thanos, and that's going to piss me off so much.
Oh, I hope he like destroys people with his Omega Beam.
That would be funny.
Oh, man.
What was the question again?
We were talking about 64 personalities.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, she has 64 personalities. I think what's going to happen is there's going to be a select few that she can hold back, but as long as she keeps focus. But in the final episode, we're going to see her like transform into one of the bad ones that should never come to the light of day. And that's going to be our cliffhanger for next season. Calling it right now.
I will give you a shout out. This actually happens because this is a pilot episode. I never thought about that, but that makes perfect sense.
I think far in advance. I can't help it.
Although Alan Tudyk is such a great actor. I don't know if they'll do that to him. I don't know if they won't have him as the main antagonist for the final episode, but who knows? I got to ask you guys a question too. Did you get the vibe that Chief knew Mr. Nobody, that he probably, after this experiment, went to the Chief and the Chief tried to help him a bit, maybe understand his powers or use them? Because it seems the way they were talking, it was like, I'll just say Magneto, Professor X vibe of,
oh, yeah.
We know each other. We got a relationship in the past. Did you guys feel that too?
I got the same feeling.
I do get that feeling, but I don't think Chief is quite old enough to like know him from the very beginning. Maybe Chief got a reputation and Mr. Nobody went to him, and maybe that's how that got started up. Because Mr. Nobody got started with the Nazis.
But, I mean, the way Chief experiments on things, who knows? He could have experimented on himself and maybe have a life. I don't know. We got to get more from them, I know, but it just felt like they knew each other from a good while back. You could be completely right. He could just go to him after a while, trying to get a greater grasp on his powers, maybe.
Yeah, I can see that. So, the donkey cliffhanger. What do we think's going to happen in the next episode?
I haven't watched the next episode teaser either, so your guess is as good as mine, but he opened up that hole in the ground. I don't know if it's another dimension or if it's... I just have so many questions still. I have no idea what's going on, and I love every second of it.
A part of me wondered if I dreamt that end scene because I couldn't believe it was real.
I couldn't get over it. I was like, what are we watching here?
That left me stunned for like 10 minutes. I'm like, what is happening? So yeah, I don't watch the previews for future episodes anymore because they tend to spoil stuff. So I have no idea what's going to happen.
I had a rant with Adam a few days ago about that. Gotham showed a previously on, and the first scene they showed was Barbara and Jim making love, and you're like, okay, I know exactly what's going to happen. What you're going to show, she's definitely pregnant, 100%. And sure enough, within 30 minutes, bam, bomb drop, knew what it was. And that
dang, oh, that, spoiler alert.
That drove me crazy.
Yeah. I can't do that every time.
No, I'm just kidding. None of us watch Gotham really anymore.
Hey, Batman's on there. I'm watching Gotham.
I picked it up for I started watching it so I could, so Adam asked so we could do it for the podcast, and I'm not a fan of Barbara. I was hoping she wouldn't make it and he would meet a new Barbara. But no, that's not going
to
happen.
Not to go on a Gotham tangent, but they really messed that up. Yeah. Barbara is a pretty important character coming up in Batman lore. So for her to be named after, yeah.
Yeah, I don't even know where to begin with that. Thankfully, Arrow season 7 is just killing it, so I'm just happy.
Yes.
It's my jam. I don't know if anyone's seen as many the episodes as many times as I have. I just love it. Minus season 4, mind you.
What is season 4? I don't understand what you're talking about.
Remember that there weird time Arrow just jumped from season 3 to 5?
It's the season 4. It's the season 4 curse. Because Flash last season was a dumpster fire as well.
Yeah.
So, but now this season is a bit more improving, so I'm okay. But I don't think none of the shows have hit the high that Flash season 1 got with the general audience, and I think they've just been trying to get that, and maybe Batwoman might bring it there. But for me, I don't think I didn't hear people talking about anything like that. I heard them talking about the first season of Flash for these shows anyway.
Yeah, agreed.
All right. Is there anything else Doom Patrol related?
It's fantastic.
I don't see how Beast Boy would have worked with this team. So smart move of moving him out.
Also smart move to not have him on two shows if you're only going to have him transform into one animal.
Yes. Though apparently in episode 12 of Titans that we will apparently see bits and pieces of in the season 2 premiere, he transforms into a fish.
Of course. Of course.
Is it at least like a shark or something?
It's just King shark?
I don't know. All I read was a fish. That's all I read.
Okay. See, look, we need it. We need a gorilla. That's one of his iconic transformations, and an elephant. I know it's hard to CGI with the budget, but that was one of my complaints. That was one of my complaints, was not seeing him transform into more animals. That and Starfire not flying. But besides that, like, Starfire was amazing for me. Like, personally, I really was pissed off with the hate that she got, that drove the actress off of social media. That was just a shame, especially for an orange alien. Jeez.
Yeah.
Anna is perfect in the role. The only issue, I never really found issue with not having her fly, but the issue I have is that she has fire and not the green lasers or like the green bolts, or because that's all I know. I've only ever seen her in Teen Titans or like the DC anime universe.
Yeah.
And so the only thing I know about her powers is that it's green, but in this, it's fire. And
Ever call me nitpicky again.
I have voiced this to you, and you have never called me nitpicky about this.
I mean, it is a nitpick. My issues with the writing for the character in general, they started out strong and then just sort of forgot about her towards the end of the season. But this is a Doom Patrol podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's another. That's a season 2 of Titan podcast, which will come at a later date. Anything else, boys, while we're here?
I just think we got to keep watching this, if not for anything other than Brendan Fraser's back in our lives.
Yes.
Yeah. National treasure.
This is a great reason. Great reason to invest in DC Universe. And Brendan Fraser's butt is on this pilot. So, spoiler alert.
Well, some of us, Katie, keep emailing DC Universe begging them to take our money, but they just won't let us. So,
I'm sorry.
If you guys
got to come to the US,
I would, but my universal health care and gun laws alone just
Okay, different story.
It's close. If they add a couple more shows, I'm coming. Even if I gotta give up those things.
We have Young Justice.
That's true. I gotta find mine off the back of a truck.
One more thing. This is completely off topic. I don't know if you guys covered this, but Punisher and Jessica Jones got canceled. So.
Oh yeah, they did get canceled. Rest in peace, Marvel Netflix universe.
But I thought it was all connected. They were good run. I really laughed at the people that said that it was connected with the movies. It wasn't. It was, but the movies weren't connected with it, which is sad. I would have liked to see it, but three seasons of Daredevil was, I haven't seen the third season yet, but from all accounts was fantastic. And The Punisher, from I saw the first season, I thought that was fantastic. Same thing with Jessica Jones, season one, that villain was bonkers. So it's sad to see all those shows go. Hopefully they'll end up on Disney Plus or Hulu at some point.
This is a really interesting story because they canceled Jessica Jones before the third season even came out. So Netflix doesn't even care anymore. Which is sad because all the shows were good except for Iron Fist and Luke Cage season 2.
I don't know. I'm still sticking to my Daredevil story.
Is she going to say something bad about Daredevil?
If she does, she's going to get cut out anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Okay, 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 good. Okay.
I'm just kidding. I wrote a while back that the Daredevil movie was better than the TV show, but I have changed my mind.
Okay, that's good. Was it before you watched all the TV show?
So I made my way through season one of Daredevil, and I hated it. And then I rewatched season one in preparation for season two, and then I couldn't get through three episodes of season two. And so, here we are. I'm episode six of season two. Oh my gosh, that was hard to get out.
I don't even know what to say to that.
This is what I have to deal with every week.
It's all subjective, I know. And I've podcasted with people that love Batman and Robin and other movies. So, you know, it's all depends on when you watch it and what it means to you. But I thought, oh, that was fantastic. I thought Daredevil was groundbreaking in terms of fights and stunts. And Charlie Cox simply nailed Matt Murdock.
I would agree with you now, but... October, I had a different opinion. So well, that's what my whole comment was. I was teasing Michael.
Well, bravo, Michael, for keeping holding strong and making sure that she changed her opinion.
Oh, my whole Twitter feed made sure I changed.
I actually seen a part of that, actually, Katie, and I couldn't help but laugh.
So I'd like to thank Paul Romano and Landon Bell for everything they've done to help with this effort. Also, Matt, shout out to you. We stayed strong, and we finally got her to like Daredevil.
Well, if you got to like Punisher, Marshall Mathers loves Punisher. He got really mad at Netflix today on Twitter for canceling it.
Yeah. I have not seen that one yet.
It's good. John Bernthal is amazing to me anyway. I just love him in basically anything he's ever been in. So... I he just commits fully to the role, and it's really scary.
Yeah, circling back a bit, when we were talking about how the shows weren't really connected to the movies, one thing that I did like about what the shows did, though, they're all just set in pretty much Hell's Kitchen. Iron Man has no reason to go to Hell's Kitchen, so the crossover doesn't bother me. Like, you can be in the same world and never actually cross over.
Oh, I agree. I didn't care either. I liked that they were in their own universe. What I didn't like was you'd had people like Jeff Loeb, who ran that, telling us we had to watch that if we were watching the movies because it was all connected. And you're like, Thor's not going to fly down in the middle of Hell's Kitchen with his hammer. I'm not seeing anybody from Avengers. What am I going to see? Hammer Tech? That's the only thing that I can recall, like the main thing, Hammer Tech from Luke Cage season one. Besides that, I have never seen anything, but I enjoyed all those shows, and I really loved Defenders. country to what I think it didn't do as good numbers, but I thought it was fantastic. I loved it.
Yep, Defenders was solid. Katie, you got a long way to go before you get to Defenders.
I actually watched all of Defenders.
Ooh, and you still hated Daredevil, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
Even when he saved Jessica Jones?
See, Jessica Jones is my favorite, so that was the only time I really... Until now.
Nice horns. Michael, I got to ask, did you... I had an idea that for season two of Defenders, it would have been Kingpin getting four bad guys to fight the Defenders. That's what I hoped, that it would lead up to Kingpin showdown with them.
So you're saying in the end. They needed a league of their own?
Yeah, like like we'll use Bullseye and other characters. I don't like pull from other characters, but yeah. I wanted Kingpin to go against Defenders so bad.
I hope they incorporate Kingpin into other stuff. Like get him in Spider-Man 3.
I don't think there's a better villain in the MCU, to be honest with you. I know we got more time with him, but
yeah.
I think he's the best comic book villain on TV right now, and Tobias Whale is doing like a full-on imitation of Kingpin.
When I was a boy.
I love those memes.
But yeah, rest in peace, Netflix shows. Hopefully you survive some way on Disney Plus.
You'll forever live on in the hallway scene. Hallway fight scene.
Every season. I can't believe they pulled that off every season.
Started a trend, that's for sure.
That one in Daredevil season 3, it might be the craziest thing I've ever seen. It lasts.
I haven't seen it yet.
La 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 la.
Yeah, double la. I haven't got a chance to watch that yet.
I'm not spoiling it. It lasts 11 minutes, though.
Okay, yeah.
11 minutes? Never mind. Just keep your mouth shut.
Oh my god, I want to see it. So I'm starting it tomorrow.
You got it. Start it as soon as you can. It's amazing.
I think I may start. I got to get through Supergirl tonight, and then I'll be wide open to watch that.
Supergirl's a different story. We'll have to have you on for that.
Oh, you gotta have me on sometime to talk DCCW. It's probably my favorite universe.
Well, we will make that happen.
Yeah, I listened to your Elseworlds crossover episode too. I gotta say that was fantastic.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, I wasn't there, so it was okay.
All right, I think that's about all we have to talk about. Michael, where can we find you on social media?
You can find me at WabamENT on Twitter.
Travis, what about you?
You can find me at Travis_156 on Twitter. You can drop me a line. We can chat basically anything comic book or sports. And I do two podcasts, Tales from the DC Multiverse with Adam, who's been out here before, and Superhero Discussions, which is a solo podcast I do on Anchor.
Awesome. We will definitely make sure to take a listen. We actually haven't had Adam on. I'm working on getting him on, though. So
you've been on hours with Adam. Sorry, my bad.
No, I didn't want to lie and say we've had him on here. So you can find me at KGilstrap13 on Twitter and Instagram. And you can find weekly reviews of the Doom Patrol on WabamEntertainment.com. I will be doing those. I pinky swear. So make sure you check us out, all of the news, reviews, and features on DC, Star Wars, Marvel, whatever your favorite item is or your non-favorite item is. So make sure you check us out and have a good night, day, or afternoon, wherever you're listening.
Bye.
Later, guys.
You've been listening to the Wabam Entertainment Podcast. For more from Wabam Entertainment, visit us on the web at wabamentertainment.com. You can let us know what you thought of this episode on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram at WabamENT. Thanks for listening. We'll see y'all next time.